Well, it's as good as any other explanation you can come up with, and there are many.
And we know, Art, that there have been these stories since the 40s of silver discs with non-human beings being found in New Mexico and other places. And you got that, you've now had one correspondence that you have put out. You've gotten another. I don't know if you are going to distribute that publicly, but it comes down to the fact that somebody says that they have had pieces of artifacts from a crash. In the letter, it says Roswell. We don't know where. There's no specific coordinates.
All right, if I might, let me stop you and tell everybody. The second letter, the one Linda
right.
is now referring to with regard to the Roswell pieces, is now on the Internet. It's under anonymous letters. You see first the photographs of the material, then the first letter, and now the second letter has been added to it as of this moment on my webpage.
Okay.
Linda, if you would, start out.
Yeah.
You've been a middle person for me, and I really want to thank you because getting stuff, something like this is actually kind of a burden.
It is very difficult, Art, because you now are experiencing what for the last 16 years trying to find anybody with very credible professional credentials who would be willing to look at physical tissue and samples in the unusual animal death was difficult, and now having to deal with artifacts that may have come from a craft from someplace else is also difficult, and we are still experiencing the same syndrome that these professionals ask for and must remain anonymous in order to protect their positions in their work.
All right.
And
how much can you tell us about the scientist? He's well credentialed.
Who
examined this possible wreckage?
Yes, and he is a major Midwestern university. He has been helping me and several other investigators in several aspects of the phenomena for about 7 years. His work is extremely good, well done, and he has been looking at the alleged Roswell UFO crash artifact that you received last month.
All right, can you, before we get to that, tell us what kind of tests were done on the material?
Yes. You gave him 10 pieces, and the 10 pieces broke down into 5 small, what turn out to be, this is very interesting, they are perfect squares. They've been measured, and they are exactly 6 millimeters by 6 millimeters square and less than 1 millimeter thick, and every one of those 5 little squares weighs exactly 160 milligrams each.
How likely is that? Because the pieces I gave you, Linda, were not all shaped the same. I gave you some circles, I think, some oblongs, and some squares.
That's right. The 5 squares are
exactly.
perfect squares, and they exactly weigh 160 milligrams each, and they are machined. The edges of each one of those little squares, when he looked at, and this comes to your question, he used an scanning electron microscope, which is used with, the scanning electron microscope is used with the energy dispersive spectroscopy. Now, what this all means, these big words, is that they have the ability now with scanning electron microscope to take something, let's say this is 6 millimeters wide, which is just a little bit over a quarter of an inch,
mm-hmm.
and they can go down to the surface, and they can keep going down and down. They get down to 1 to 2 microns, and to show you how small that is, if you could take and isolate a single blood cell out of your bloodstream, it would be about 7 microns in diameter, a blood cell. They're going down to 1 to 2 microns, which is about a third the size of a blood cell, to take a look at things on these artifacts that you sent. And when they get to a place that they're interested in, or various places, they then can ratchet change into a particular kind of switch, which is the energy dispersive spectroscopy. And when you find out what you want to measure, and you're on a spot, this will determine exactly what elements are there. Well, when they did this on the five little squares, on the two ellipticals, which also were 6 millimeters wide.
And I'm going to ask you to hold on for just a moment, if you would, and we'll be right back to you. We are at the half-hour mark, folks. Linda, are you there? Yes, I hear you. So we were on the smaller pieces, and you said they weighed 160 grams each.
Yeah, the five. And out of the 10 pieces that you sent, 8 of the 10 had a common denominator of each being 6 millimeters wide. So there were 5 that were perfectly square. There were 2 elliptical that were 6 millimeters by 8 millimeters, and the circle was 6 millimeters in diameter. So 6 millimeters seemed to be a constant, at least in some of these dimensions. Now, on the, we'll call it the very thin blade, it measured exactly 10 inches by 1.5 inches, which the scientists thought was unusual that anything would end up in even inches, which is a terrestrial measurement. That could be that it was sawed off from something that's unknown. He thought that was strange that it should measure so exactly. And the last piece is the approximately 2 3/8 inches by 1 15/16 inches, not square, almost square. We'll call it the vent. It is this small, very, very thin object with very thin slits throughout it.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to have some other detailed remarks to make about the, we'll call it the blade and the vent. But first, I want to go to a sentence that is from the second communication that you now have out on the computer. And this is from the source who says, Granddad stated their own analysis. He's talking back in that he came in possession of these in 1974 from his grandfather who got them from, the 1947 crash, is what he's alleging. Granddad stated their own analysis of the samples indicated it as pure extract aluminum as a conductor for the electromagnetic fields created in the propulsion system, unquote. And we'll stop there for a second. That sentence certainly seemed to hold up. And they took the electron dispersive spectroscopy to every single one of the 10 pieces on several parts of them. Now, what they're doing in the EDS, you bombard with electrons, and it knocks out electrons, kind of punches out the electrons. And those electrons have a very characteristic wavelength. They put out an X-ray when they fly out, and that X-ray has a very characteristic wavelength. And then you can tell exactly what the element is.
Okay.
Well, over and over and over again in every one of these, it was, and this is the phrase that is correct to use, greater than 99% aluminum and could not detect any other element. Because scientists are reluctant to say that anything is 100% anything. Because even putting your fingerprints or brushing it on soil and add something that might be picked up at 0.01%, if you understand what I mean.
I do. Now, what does that mean? Now, for example, is there much terrestrial production done in pure aluminum, or is it usually for strength and alloy?
Usually when we're building with aluminum in something, we are adding manganese or other alloys to strengthen. And tomorrow or Tuesday, this scientist is going to be meeting with a metallurgical professional to discuss exactly these issues of aluminum alloys and 100% alloy, and I hope that next Sunday I can have a further update on that. But I want to say that there's something else interesting that showed up in the scanning electron microscope, which gets into this question of whether or not there's anything that could be structural. It's certainly not an alloy, but what they found in one of the 5 little squares were silicon granules. They were 1 to 2 microns, and they seemed to be embedded in the surface of the aluminum, and on this square there were striations across it as if the little square had itself been either scratched or abraded by something. And it raised the speculation, which ranges from, could these pieces have had impact with something that was sandy or dusty, or is there a processing mechanism in the manufacturing of these little pieces that somehow brought a silicon polishing dust to them? We're going to learn a little bit more about that from the metallurgist. And when you come to the, we'll call it the very thin blade, it was less than a millimeter, just extremely thin and light,
yes.
10 inches long and 1.5 inches wide.
Right.
On that and on what we're calling the little vent were granules that were different. These turned out to be 10% manganese, 10% iron, and 80% aluminum. I'm talking now only in little granules. It seemed to somehow be attached or also embedded. Now, what they are or what they mean or whether they are something that was picked up over time, the source said that he's had these since 1974, and they were tarnished, and they may have been exposed to other things. That part's hard to know. Well, a question still hanging is, even if they are all aluminum on the outside, could there be any structural detail on the inside? Well, tonight, just before we went on the air, the scientist called me. He was in the lab. He had, with your permission, Art, he had cut into one of the little five squares that
yes.
we talked about.
Yes.
And he said it was pure, silver, shiny, appeared to have no other structural details. And at this point, it appears that though, that at least is just aluminum, 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 aluminum. And he said to me, in this universe, where as far as we look, when we look at all of the elements and we look at the stars and the galaxies, we keep seeing the same spectrum of the same elements. So if it is aluminum and aluminum and aluminum over and over and over again, what we do not know is function. We know we have aluminum on this planet. There must be aluminum throughout the universe and other places. But what are the functions of these? And to this date, there is nothing about any of this that the scientists or even some of the people he has worked with and they have discussed, there is nothing that even indicates any kind of function from these pieces at this point.
In other words, no earthly use they can discern.
Not at this point. And the other question comes back to this source's strange sentence about used as a conductor for the electromagnetic fields created in the propulsion system. Well, aluminum might conduct some electricity, but what would the relationship be specifically to an electromagnetic field? We're also going to talk with the metallurgists and some other people about that.
The answer is, of course, it's not magnetic. Aluminum is not magnetic.
That's right. So by next weekend, we may have a little bit more, at least, professional information about some of these questions, but at this point, Art, there is nothing that we can say that would confirm or deny that they are in fact extraterrestrial, other dimensional, time travel, or anything. It's aluminum, aluminum, aluminum in shape that appear to have definitely been machined. Could they have been machined on the Earth? I am assuming definitely in this day and age they could have been. 1947, could that be a source? We do not know, and all we've got to go by at this point are this man's two letters.
All right, and there's some chance that they impacted on something.
Well, it's speculation about the silicon granules in one of the five little squares. It could also be a manufacturing process, and these are the kinds of things that are very difficult for us to know beyond the fact that we've got these two letters from this man claiming that these are artifacts from a crash. Now, I think it's also important to point out that Jesse Marcel Jr., who saw some of this material at his father's, that his father brought home to the kitchen in 1947 July, described completely different types of material.
A type of crinkly thing that would regain its shape.
And he said, he told me in that interview that he never personally crinkled them up. His father told him that. He never did it himself. but he said that he did handle the material he saw for himself, those fuchsia-colored symbols in these little 3/8 of an inch wide little beams that were so light and have been compared in other research to balsa wood, looking like sort of a silvery, coppery color, but being compared to balsa wood. Again, all of that is quite different from this aluminum, aluminum, aluminum. Okay, well, round two. One of the faxes that I received was from Mr. Edward Stork of Denver, Pennsylvania, who has studied on his own a lot about metallurgy, and he called me to say that a piece of 99% pure aluminum, exactly 6 millimeters by 6 millimeters by 1 millimeter, would have to weigh 97 milligrams, not the 160 milligrams that the university scientists found for each of the five little squares.
Now, they did spectrography, they did the electron scanning microscope and all the rest on the little piece on the outside of it and found nothing but, as you said, aluminum, aluminum, aluminum.
Right.
And so that should weigh
97.
And yes, instead of...
Yeah, and I went back to the scientist, and I said, here's the situation, and he went back to the lab, he checked the calibration on his scale, and he remeasured each of the little squares, and the answers were the same. But he also did a calculation and said, yes, that it was true. If the little squares are 99% pure aluminum at 6 by 6 by 1 millimeters, they really should weigh 97 milligrams, not 160 milligrams. So now we have a weight discrepancy to solve. Well, another factor said that he had worked in an aluminum die-cast plant and proposed that all the pieces are sample molds used to determine material content. He said that the grooves in the round piece that resembles a phonograph record are created by the metal lathe used to smooth the surface to be tested. This is a quote from his staff. The squares, oblong, and round fragments are punch-outs that are material that is removed from the castings to make openings for mechanical connections, unquote, and therefore they are scrap material and thrown away. Well, I spent a lot of time the past few days talking with metallurgists, including two who worked with aluminum almost exclusively at Sandia Labs in Albuquerque from the early 1950s until they retired a few years ago. Both suggested that if so far the scientific analysis of the electronic dispersive spectroscopy showed only aluminum atoms on the surface of the object, because remember, Art, at first you wanted to keep them all intact, so the first round of testing was really only on the surface of the object.
Right.
When he punched through a little bit on one Sunday just before the program, that was not with the EDS testing. Well, the logical conclusion is, according to these men, that there is a coating of aluminum around another different metal on the inside, which can be a way to manufacture aluminum alloys because aluminum is non-corrosive and might be used as a coating. Now, this is what the retired Sandia Laboratory metallurgist Charlie Mack had to say about why the EDS might have picked up only aluminum and whether or not the pieces could be scrap punch-outs.
Mm-hmm.
Unless the aluminum was fairly thick, the coating of aluminum on the outside,
right?
You would burn through that and hit the inside as well.
Right, like an M&M, like a coated M&M candy.
Yeah, yeah.
And aluminum might be the outside, and something on the inside, whatever is coated, is deeper inside the squares than the EDS is penetrating.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And that's why it's going to get on the inside. It's going to cut through a whole piece.
Right.
Would it make sense to you, from all of your experience, that there would be five punch-outs that were scrap material from alloy production that would each weigh exactly 160 milligrams?
The means by which it was punched, the tooling was punched out, which of course is kind of unusual.
Okay.
It's kind of peculiar that they would all be that way.
So it is not normal for scrap aluminum punch-out material that's thrown away to end up looking identical, being exactly the same size, and weighing exactly the same size.
Right.
So Art, maybe the mystery about the weight discrepancy will be explained if we find there is an aluminum coating around a denser internal metal. Those tests will be done in the last week of May, and I'll be able to report back on the Memorial Day weekend, Dreamland. Finding a coated alloy does not mean the fragments are from an extraterrestrial craft either. Pure aluminum does not exist naturally because the element is so reactive with other elements that all 99% pure aluminum has been processed by someone somewhere. Aluminum does not corrode, so using it as a metal coating is part of our 20th century industrial technology. And if it works here, maybe it's used to build round disks that travel through time and space somewhere else, too.
Well, it's a real mystery now. In other words, all of this careful testing on the outside picked up nothing else except what I recall you to say was a little bit of a virtual sand.
So they found 1 or 2 micron silicon fragments, and I have confirmed that silicon is used in the aluminum manufacturing process. It's used, it can be used as an alloy, and it can also be used as a flux to clean out equipment where they are working with aluminum alloys. So that could explain why there are those small sand dust pieces. There were some slightly different percentages on the vent, what we called the vent, and that's the long scrap. It had some other mixtures which also could have come from the dust of work with an alloy. And maybe in the final result, we will have an alloy that might be some company's sophisticated punch-out scrap, and then that would mean that whoever sent these letters and sent these pieces was perhaps trying to run us off in a red herring, or could end up being another anomaly that we have studied but we could never prove its origins, like so many other puzzles in UFO phenomena.
All right, the big headline is it really can't be aluminum, 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 not at this weight.
No, with the weight discrepancy, there's got to be something else there.
Fascinating.
It is.
And they cut it open. They cut one of the squares open, and they found nothing but a shiny, apparent aluminum interior as well.
But they haven't put it under the EDS, and that will happen in that last week of May.
All right, and if they find nothing but aluminum, 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 then we've really got a problem, don't we?
Well, it would almost be a physical impossibility, as I understand, and the physics of the universe at this point, because if it weighs 160 milligrams...
There has to be more there.
There has to be something else there adding that weight.
All right, and so it is, folks, the mystery of the day. Linda, we'll get your information out. We're out of time.
Okay.
Bless your heart. I'll look forward to next week's report.
Okay.
And stay away from the chupacabras. Thank you, and good night, Linda. Coming up next...